You know, but where the currents flow on a river, when they come together, the water churns a little bit and the ice is not as thick. And they were going around the corner on that where the rivers met, and they went through the ice in the middle of winter. And they both come up and they were both laying on, hanging onto the ice. And they every time they tried to get out, the ice would break. It was so thin. And a police officer was visiting his, I thought they said his mother or his aunt or somebody there. And he heard something down there, and so he looked out and he ran down with a big ladder and put it out on the ice so they could get onto the ladder and come up. But before he got the ladder there, the young man by the name of Danny Flock went under the water, and Doug reached down and he grabbed him and he pulled up. But by the time they got him out to the hospital, he had died from hypothermia, and Doug survived. The camp director survived. That was on a Saturday. That happened. I believe it was on a Saturday, maybe a Friday night. I was thinking of a Saturday. It might have been Friday night, but that happened. And I got up that Sunday morning. I wrote a message that Saturday on heaven, because Danny Flock knew that he was a born-again believer, saved by the grace of God. A young man called to preach, you know, and maybe 17 years old, 16 years old. I can't remember, something like that. He was young, wasn't out of school yet. And I got up to preach on heaven that morning, and we had five people respond to the salvation invitation and trust Christ as their Savior that day, you know. And so there's nothing wrong with preaching on heaven. I've had more response from people on preaching on heaven that day than I do when I preach on hell in a church, brother. Amen. And hell ought to be preached on. Hallelujah. Well, we've been in the book of Psalms all week in chapter 1. And I know, you know, I've been there five messages, so tonight I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I knew I was going to get him. Amen. Some of you were already going to Psalms, weren't you? Amen. Let's go. I could write another message on that. I was studying that out again yesterday a little bit. And there's more even there yet in Psalms chapter 1, Pastor. I think we could go for quite a while on that. But I am finished with that series of messages right now. And I want you to go to Philippians in chapter 4 with me this evening, please. And I'm just going to look at one verse, so if you'll stand with me just for a moment for the reading of God's Word, just one verse we're going to look at, Philippians in chapter 4. And I want to look down to verse 13, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where he makes this statement, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." What a great verse, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this wonderful time we have had here this week, Lord. And God, we're looking forward to tonight, what you will do again in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for speaking to each one of us, Father. Thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, your leadership, God. We thank you, Father, that we can walk according to your word. Help us, Father, as we endeavor to do that. Father, if anyone in our presence doesn't know Christ as their Savior, please touch that heart tonight. It's in Jesus' precious name we'll pray and give you thanks. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I'd like to speak a message to you that I've entitled, "The Sufficiency of Christ." The sufficiency of Christ. You know, it's I don't know how you are, but I am, and it's, I'm still this way. I'm self-reliant, and that hurts. That hurts you as a believer in Jesus Christ to put your trust in yourself. Amen. And but Christ is sufficient. According to this verse, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. I can do all things. I can't think of anything myself. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." I can do all things through Him, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. But let me tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean I can stand on top of the Empire State Building and sprout wings and fly safely to the ground without a parachute. Amen. That's not what he's talking about in that text, but I think that's what some believers think that is what that text is talking about. We need to get back to the Lord and get away from ourselves. Amen. Put our faith and trust in Him and what He wants in our lives. That word sufficiency, if you would look it up, it gives you this state, the state of being adequate to the end proposed. His sufficiency is such that he bestows and possesses his plenty, being completely and totally inexhaustible. That's the plenty of God, the sufficiency in Christ. He is so total and so complete that he is inexhaustible to you and to me as the children of God. We need to make sure that we come to him and trust him and get away from ourselves and believe what he has for you and what he has for me. And quit trusting in what we think that we can do and start putting our faith and trust in what he will and can do. I've been in many churches around the country, and I'm sure Brother Overton and Pastor also, maybe some of you other ones, and I've met a lot of people over the years, a lot of preachers over the years, and some preachers have the idea that they are the ones who have built their church, amen, and they have the idea that they are the one who are saving the souls. Aren't you glad, Pastor, that God gave you those souls this week, amen? And but I've heard preachers make the statement that I have led this one and this one and this one. I want to be careful with that, because I don't lead anybody. I point them in the right direction, and the Holy Spirit does the leading, amen? And that's all we can do. And if you ever hear me say, well, I led this one to the Lord, and understand what I'm saying is that I know it's all of him and nothing of me. But some guys are so full of themselves, and some people are so full of themselves that everything they talk about comes right back to them and not God, amen? We are not sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God and of God alone. Well, I'm going to look at a couple of thoughts. You notice I hardly ever preach a message without talking about salvation, and I will weave it in there somewhere before I am done. I was preaching one time, Pastor, in a church up in Michigan years ago, probably 32. I was still pastoring. I held a week of revival meetings for a friend of mine about 33, 34 years ago, maybe. And I went and I preached that morning in his church. And man, I don't know, we had a number of folks come to Christ that week. We thanked the Lord. A fellow who was there all week, they'd been praying for 2 or 3 years. His wife was coming and his daughter was coming. And then this gentleman, about 62, 63 years old, put his faith and trust in Christ. But that Sunday morning I was preaching, and I preached a message on revival, and I did not say one word about salvation until the invitation. An invitation has given the invitation, and I said, you know, I realized this morning I didn't talk about much about salvation in the message, but I want you to know there are some of you here today that need to be saved. I just know there's some of you here that need to be born again by the very grace of God. And they had their heads bowed and their eyes closed. I said, now if that's you, I would like to pray for you if I could. My prayer ain't going to save you, but I'd like to pray for you that you might put your faith and trust in Christ. Slip up your hand. We had a fellow from Mexico. Brother, I know you're from Peru, south of there, amen. But we had a fellow from Mexico that was there that morning. His family came from Mexico, and he spoke pretty good English. His name was Al. Al was 44 years old, and there was another young man there. I forget what his name was. He was 15 years old, and they both raised up their hand. I gave the invitation. I said, if you raise up your hand, get down here to the down the altar right now and get up here, and so we can talk to you about Jesus Christ, amen. And so salvation is important, and they both got saved that morning. What I thought was neat was that night the pastor had the young 15-year-old fellow did not come back, but Al came back that night, and Pastor had us all go downstairs before the service. You would not want to go downstairs here before the service and kneel down to pray, amen. But they all went downstairs in the service to pray, and we went down there with them, and Al was right next to me, and Pastor, there's about 6 or 7 of us in the room, and Pastor said, now Al, he said, we know you just got saved this morning, and you don't have to pray if you don't want to. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. Just let it pass by you, and then Brother Michael pray and finish up. So Pastor was here, Al was here, I was going to finish it up when everybody else was done, and Pastor got done praying, and Al did this. He says, Lord, save them that need to be saved, and get them right that need to get right. Amen. It's always, I'll never forget it in my mind, that man, brand new, saved by the grace of God, knew what people needed. They need to get saved, and those who are saved need to get right with God. Amen. Those that ain't right, that they would get right with you. Amen. I tell you what a blessing. So salvation is all what we are about. Amen. And boy, if Christ saved you, you ought not to be ashamed to share that with somebody else. Amen. You really ought not to be. You ought not to be afraid to share that with somebody else. I know the workplace today is different than what it was back when I was first saved pastor and out of prison in the workplace. I would take my Bible right to work with me. Amen. I would witness the guys on the machine next to me. I'd talk to them in the lunchroom. I'd preach to them in the aisleway, brother. Had a couple men get saved. Had my Bible preaching in the aisleway during a lunch period. Didn't even get to eat my lunch. I'd have to eat at the break time because they kept on coming up with these questions for him. When he found out that I was a born-again believer, I'd have 10, 12, 13 guys sometimes standing there wanting to hear the Word of God. I know today it's different. Amen. I understand that. But what we ought to be living in such a way that we would permeate the gospel of Christ. Why? Because He is sufficient for us to do that as the children of God. Well, number one tonight, I know I took a little bit of time there, but number one tonight, we see His sufficiency in our salvation. He's sufficient. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is salvation and any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I like what he said there. He clarified, he didn't say that ye must be saved. He said it's Christ that saves us all. We will only be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only Him. And He is sufficient unto that salvation because He is the only name given among men whereby we must believe. We must trust and come to Him. And you'd be surprised how many people sit in churches, Pastor, maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but how many people sit in independent Baptist churches that they don't know Christ. They don't know Him. And that's sad, amen. And I don't think it's because of a lack of preaching. I don't think it's because of a lack of teaching. I think it's because of a lack of, I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want you to know the truth about me.
Yeah,
that's what I think. I think that's the truth right there. And I think we need to be so careful that we still, Pastor, I know, I believe that you probably preached the gospel somehow, some way, some shape, some form. Something said probably every time you preach, amen. At least on Sundays, or at least when you have visitors in to the church. My people probably got tired of hearing me talking about it because I preached on it. Preached about it every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, amen. And one of my guys said, why you touch so much on this stuff? I said, because it's important to us, amen. It ought to be. We ought not to be. Why not preach about it, amen? Why not bring it out? Why not talk about what we need as believers in Christ? John 3:36 says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, the Bible tells you and I that we need to believe. And he said, if you believe, you have everlasting life. Lars Westberg preached the message, one of our evangelists. He preached the message a few years ago in our home church, Pastor, when we had our annual COME conference there. And Lars preached this message. He said, I was preaching one time. He said, I always preach a message on believers and unbelievers. He said, there's two type of people in the world, he'd say. There's believers, and then he said, and there's unbelievers. He said, but this old gentleman came up to me after the meeting and said, Lars, I want to share this with you. He said, there's another kind out there. And he said, what do you mean there's another kind? He said, well, you have believers, and you have unbelievers, and then you have make-believers. Those who are making believe. Well, they would be in the crowd with the unbeliever, amen. But they make believe, and they make you believe that they might truly be saved by the grace of God, born again, when they're not. They don't know Christ. And so you have sometimes people, I've seen it, sometimes people, a young man will meet a young lady and fall in love with her, quote unquote, and then they will get hitched and they're both believers, quote unquote, and then the one, as soon as they get married, the one will sometimes pull away from the other one, and I don't know if the one that pulled away was a believer. That's what blows my mind, amen. It ought not to be that way in our churches. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ. John chapter 10 with me. Look at the book of John in your Bibles. John in chapter 10. John in chapter 10. And over in the book of John in chapter 10, we read this beginning in verse 1 of John and chapter 10. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth them forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice." Well, they know who their shepherd is, amen. And boy, we truly ought to know who Jesus Christ is. And when we read the Word of God, and His Word shows us something in our heart that we ought to be doing, we ought to do it, amen. We ought to get that thing settled with God. He said in verse 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." But you know, that's how it ought to be. But the truth is, a lot of times, that born-again believers will listen to somebody who doesn't speak the truth, Pastor, and then they get their mind twisted and begin to follow some heretic that's not a preacher of the gospel at all.
Right.
He pretends to be. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came in before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, how can you have that abundant life? Because it is sufficient in your salvation. He makes it possible for you to have a life of abundance as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about monetary riches here. He's talking about you might have that abundant life in the Spirit of God, walking with Him and following Him and obeying Him and trusting Him and doing what you ought to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. We see His sufficiency in our salvation. Then we see His sufficiency in our total security. In our total, I didn't say social security, but total security. Some in this room draw on their social security. I draw on mine now. I started mine a couple of years ago. I didn't make it to 66 when I took a pastor. Cale came home for a year, and I had to help him with his car payment because I told him to do that when he said he'd be willing to come home and help me after I had a surgery. And so he came home, and so I started drawing my social security early. And man, boy, it killed me because I waited until I was 66. I got $600, and I got it 2.5 years early, and I got $412, amen? And, sister, I never paid in anything, amen? That's what I say. You don't pay in, you don't get out, hallelujah. It don't bother me one bit, but, you know, we're not talking about social security here. We're talking about total security. We're talking about believer security. We're talking about salvation security that we have gained from Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you will, back. Excuse me, to John and the book of John. Let's go to chapter 3, and we quote verse 16 all the time. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Pastor, I'm wondering if maybe we should just begin back up into verse 15, where he says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. He says one's eternal life, one's everlasting life. That means it's never-ending life, amen? And He is sufficient for that unto you and unto me. He saved you by His grace, and He keeps you saved the same way. You cannot step out of His hand. We looked at that the other night for a few moments in here. You can't walk away. You can walk away in your personal life, but you cannot walk away from God in your salvation. It's just not going to happen. My friend, I don't care who you are, where you go to church or anything else, you cannot step step out of the hands of God. You have to realize this, that He saved you for a purpose. And I tell you, we ought to just, I don't know, why don't we just get used to that fact that we're saved eternally and enjoy our salvation, amen? We ought to enjoy what God has done for us as the children of God. I thank God I'm saved. I was talking to the Tony out here again today. He came over to see me and just talked to him again. Told him I'm praying for you and praying that you would get saved one day. Amen. And I do talk to Darlene the same way a little bit. I thank God for them. I'm glad they're over here. I'm glad we have a witness to them. Amen. And boy, I tell you, and he's become a sort of a friend to me. And I appreciate that. But I do pray for him. We need to pray for people. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you what, my friend, no matter what anybody else is doing, your salvation is secure. It's secure. I don't care what happens in your life. Your salvation is secure for you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I have eternal security. I got sufficiency in that eternal security because of Christ. He is the all-sufficient one. Go with me to Romans in chapter 5. Romans in your Bible, in the book of Romans in chapter 5 for just a few moments here. Romans in chapter 5. I know I start off with Bill's life verse this evening. Amen. How many of you know what my life verse is? I ever tell you what my life verse is here? I ever tell you? Everybody got some people's life verse is the same. You remember what my life verse was, Bill? Do you remember what it was? Over there in Ephesians chapter 4. And it goes like this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he might have to give to him that needeth. Because I was a thief. And I'm glad I'm saved. Now I ain't a thief anymore, amen. Yeah. I'm glad, by the way, I don't rob God either. Don't rob God, because if you're robbing God, you're still a thief, amen. Right. Give your tithe like you're supposed to and take care of your part of it. And God will honor that, and He will get the glory, and He'll take care of your needs. Romans chapter 5, beginning with me, please, verse 6. He says, "For when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Ooh, isn't that something? We talked about that ungodly this week. Just about every message, amen, from Sunday night on. But he said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." You would give your life maybe for your pastor, amen. We give our life a hope for our wife, amen. And I would not want my wife to give her life for me, but I think that maybe she would. I'm not sure. I won't commit her to that right now. Amen. But I'm just saying that there's some pastor we would probably give our life for. You know, there's men who give their life for the president, who would dodge a bullet for him or jump in front of a bullet so he could dodge it. Amen. There's people who will give their life for one. He said, "For scarcely for a righteous man, will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." Even for a good man, some might die for good men. Don't mean they're righteous, but they're good men. He said, "But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died," he says, "died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And that wrath, I want to tell you what, my friend, that begins in that tribulational period. And pastor, I know, and you know it, and we believe this, it does not wait until the second 3.5 years before that starts, amen. We get that thing at the beginning of that thing. I want to tell you what, if you are a mid-tribber, then you can have my truck and trailer when I get out of here, and you can drive it for 3.5 years, amen. Because I'm going to heaven at the rapture of the church. I'm not going to stay here. He's coming back for me, and I would like to see that happen before I die. But if not, pastor, I'm still going to be in heaven, and then one day this fat old body is going to be brought up out of the grave, and it's going to be reunited with my spirit up in the glory, and this body is going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Well, what? I wonder what it's going to look like then.
Yeah. It looks better than it does.
I knew it was coming. I was waiting for somebody. Amen. Well, you're right. It's going to look better than it does, brother. Amen. Somebody said one time they believe that everybody's going to be 33 years old. I don't know. And I don't care. Amen. All I know is I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never perish. Neither die. They're there forever. Amen. You cannot get out of the hands of God. Well, we looked at the sufficiency of His salvation and the sufficiency of his security. But we also see in the scripture his sufficiency in service. Look with me, if you would, again, please, back to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians. That's somewhere there before Revelation, amen. No, you'll find it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, you'll get there, amen. Book of Philippians there for me, with me for a moment, in chapter 4, again. And look with me, if you would, beginning in verse 10, he says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity, or ye could not do it at that time. Not that I speak in respect of want," Paul says, "for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased," that means lowered, humbled, amen, "and I know how to abound," that means God's provision, and everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In my service for the Lord and your service for the Lord, we can do all things for Him. Someone might say, "Well, I can't go out, preacher. I'm uncomfortable with knocking on doors with you." Can I tell you this, my friend? You go out and God will give you the strength to be able to do it. He'll show you how to be able to do it. He'll lead you how to be able to do it. He'll tell you how to be able to do it. You say, "Brother Mike, I don't know what I would say. How in the world would I say anything?" Let me tell you what I said when I was in prison and got saved. I went the very next morning. I walked across the hall, I know you've heard this before, across the hall to a fellow who had been witnessing to me in prison, Pastor. He's a Pentecostal fellow, amen. Got saved in prison himself. I don't know how he became a Pentecostal in prison, but he did, amen. And I don't remember hearing a Pentecostal preacher in prison, but he must have picked up on it somewhere. And he was a junkie that had come to prison and got saved by the grace of God. Had been witnessing to me, and I walked across the hall that next morning after I got saved, and I knocked on his door, and he was sick laying in his bed from the flu. And I said, he said, "Who is that?" I said, "It's Mike." His name was Chuck. He said, "Well, come in." I opened up the door. He looked like death warmed over. Amen. No color to him. He was bad shape. Amen. And I walked in and stood at the foot of his bed. And I said, he said, "What do you want?" I said, you'll never guess what happened." And he sits there and he smiles. He looks up to me and he says, "You got saved." And I said, "How do you know?" And he says, "I can see it in your face." Amen. But the sufficiency of Christ, his salvation ought to change. And no matter what I do, I ought to have this in my heart continually. Amen. He did something different in my life. He did something different in your life when he saved you by his grace. You might not have been where I was at. You might not have done some of the things I have done. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. But if you have or have not, he is sufficient in your salvation. He's the one that keeps you saved. And he's the one that will help you to serve him. As a child of God, we have sufficiency in our service because of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. This is another page over in your Bible there. Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. And look with me, if you would please, down in verse 10 and verse 11. He makes this statement. He said that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You cannot increase in the knowledge of God, number one, if you ain't in the Word of God. And you can't increase in the knowledge of God, number two, if you ain't in the house of God. Amen. I believe it takes both aspects. And you're not going to increase in the knowledge of God without being on your knees before God. Amen. You got to, boy, I tell you, my friend, he said, but he is fruitful. He makes, we ought to walk worthy. In verse 11, strengthened with all might, watch this, according to his glorious power, that's his sufficiency for you and me, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. They said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, in light. I tell you what, my friend, he's sufficient for you to serve him, no matter what you do. It ought not to just to be one or two people that tell other people about Jesus Christ from the church. It ought to be everybody ought to be involved. It ought not to be just one or two people who help the work around the church. It ought to be everybody who is involved, you know. It ought to be everybody who takes a turn, everybody who helps to sweep the floor, everybody who helps to clean the toilets, amen. I have a friend who went to Bible college years ago, and the Dr. Cederholm was the president of the school. It was Maranatha Baptist College over in Wisconsin. I've never been there. He went to school there. In fact, I'm going to be parking at his church in Connecticut tomorrow. I'll be over there in his church preaching in New York again, brother, on Sunday, amen, driving back to New York, but I'm staying in Connecticut because you're pretty close to it right there, amen. But he went there, and he said, I'll never forget, he said, I was there, I think he said like a week before school started, and he says students were just starting to come in. He said, I was walking around looking, and he says, I come in, and I hear something in the bathroom, and I walk over, and there's a stall door that's open. And he says, see a set of feet hanging out out into the hallway. And he said, just walk over, and I look, and he said, here's a man down there, in his blue jeans and his work shirt, and he's fixing a toilet down on his hand, reaching around the back, fixing his toilet, putting it on, and he says, hello, my name is Marty Schott. I'm a student here at the college. He says, you must be the maintenance man here. He said, my name is Dr. Cederholm, and I wear many hats. He said, amen. So, you know, but really, can I be honest with you? There should have been somebody else that would have been there to help. Amen. Maybe somebody else didn't see the problem. But if we see the problem, we ought to do something. Why? Because He is sufficient for us to be able to do all things. You say, Brother Mike, I wouldn't know how to put a toilet in. Hey, have you ever tried? Amen. That's all. Have you ever tried? You know, I wouldn't know how to put a sink faucet in. Have you ever tried? Amen. I just think there's things that we can do if we would just trust Christ and ask Him to help us and give us the strength. By the way, you know, how many of you have an iPhone or a phone where you get on the internet today? Amen. They will tell you how to put a toilet in. Amen. They will help tell you how to change a starter on a car. They will tell you how to pull a transmission out of a front wheel drive 2003 Ford Taurus. Amen. My son blew his transmission. I had to jack that car this high up off the ground, drop the subframe. I had a pallet underneath, dropped the subframe, Pastor. And when you take it loose, you have a pallet underneath there, sitting on a little lift, and take all the wires off, drop that thing all the way down, pull that engine and transmission out to change that transmission on that car. Hey, internet, amen, hallelujah. It worked well. You could do a lot of things. You just look, amen. So I'm not going to say the sufficiency is in the internet. The sufficiency is in Christ. And you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It's His strength. His strength. I can do all things. Why? Because He strengtheth me in the inner man. He's the one who does it, Pastor. And we need that for you and I and for you folks. I can't do anything without Him. If I think I can, shame on me. Shame on me if I think I can survive without Jesus Christ in my life and without listening to what He has to say. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in your power, not in your strength, but in the power of His might. We have a powerful God, amen. We have a God, He has met, I don't know how He does it, Pastor. I quit trying to figure it out years ago, how He meets needs, how sometimes He meets my needs before I even know they're coming, amen. And boy, I was fretting the other day when they told me my insurance for my truck and trailer is being canceled because the insurance company is no longer they're no longer going to insure RVs. And Progressive Insurance Company in the state of Michigan is high usually. They always say it's a lower insurance. And my insurance agent got on the phone and wrote me a text and said, your insurance, and it's going to be almost 100 $1,200 less this year than what it was last year. Amen. I mean, the insurance rates have changed. Boy, praise the Lord for that. I'm afraid to say what's going to happen next year because they always go up. Amen. But, you know, this year I'm not stuck. Praise the Lord for that. And they sent me a bill for the whole amount. And I called them on the phone today. I said, do I have to give you this whole amount at one time? Because I don't have it yet. I said, I will, but at the first month, probably. She said, he said, because I was talking to she yesterday and he today, amen. And he said, no. He said, we do have a payment plan. You can pay half and half or pay so much then every month. And I said, I don't want to do that. But I said, I'll make sure it's taken care of at the beginning of September. So that we can, I don't have to worry about my insurance all year. Isn't God good? Yeah. Now, he knew about that before my insurance company ever wrote me a letter and told me. And by the way, I didn't get the letter until today. Amen. I got an email 4 days ago or 5 days ago and a letter today about it, you know. And I tell you what, God's so good. He knew, God knew all about that. And here I was beginning to fret a little bit for nothing. You ever fret? You ever fret? When I fret, you know what I'm saying? Here's what I'm saying. Lord, you don't have the power to take care of this.
That's right. Come on.
But you know He does.
That's right. Amen.
He does have the power to take care of this. You say, well, what would you do, Brother Mike, if the money wasn't there? He has the power to take care of it.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
He can meet the need. Why? Because He's God.
Yeah.
He's my Father. How many of you would do anything you can to help your kids? Amen. You're going to do what you can to help your kids. You're going to do what you can to help your kids. You might not be able to do all that you would like to do, but you're going to do what you can do to help them. Amen. Well, my Heavenly Father has a cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills too, plus all the rest of them in the world. Amen. He can do what He wants. If He wanted me to find a gold mine by kicking a piece of dirt, He could do it. That's up to Him. Amen. But He'll meet my needs. He takes care of me. Why? Because it's sufficient. He is sufficient in my service for Him. And then He is sufficient in your, lastly, number four, we see His sufficiency in our Christian lives. He is sufficient in your Christian life, or in the Christian life. I like what He says in John chapter 15, very classic verses you read where He says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He's a vine, and we got our sustenance from that vine. Amen. We are the branches. Go ahead and cut a branch off a grapevine and find out what's going to happen. Amen. You ain't going to get any grapes on it. And He says, He is the vine. We are His branches. And He says, and you can do nothing without me. I'm the one that's made this possible. You, the same, bring forth much fruit. If without Him, I can't bring forth fruit.
Amen.
And the first thing we think about fruit is we think about soul winning, door knocking, visitation. But there's more than that for fruit in your life. We have the fruit of the Spirit, amen, which is singular, but there's multiplicity parts of that fruit that we see, and long suffering and joy and peace and love. And we see these things in the fruit of the Spirit. And that ought to be part of our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. And we it's not that some people have said, well, you know, I've got this fruit, the fruit of love, or I've got the fruit of love. No, my friend, we're supposed to have all of that because it's all one fruit. And He said, I'll make you fruitful. Why? Because He is sufficient for us in our Christian life. For without me, ye can do nothing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, you remember this, in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah tells the Lord, I have nothing to say. You know, I can't talk, I can't speak, I can't do this, I don't know what to say. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth.
Yeah.
And then He goes on to say this, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, let me ask you a question. When you speak to somebody about salvation, do you use this book right here? Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you can use your personal testimony, but do you use this book right here? Because this is what's important. He has given you the words, amen. He's given, preacher, we might quote verses and get them backwards sometimes. Quote verses and get them in the wrong position sometimes. I do that stuff all the time anymore. And we might get them in, I might even forget the reference and put another verse with another reference, amen. But do you know the book? Do you know it? Do you have it in you where you can share it? Because he has given you his words that you can share with the world. That's his sufficiency for you in your Christian life. And by the way, the sufficiency for you in your Christian life by knowing this book, by walking according to it, he will tell you what you need to do in order to be blessed by him. And boy, I tell you what, God is in the blessing business. Amen. He's in the blessing business. That's what he wants to do in your life. He doesn't want any believer not to be blessed. You remember Moses tells the Lord, I stutter, I stammer, you know, I can't speak, I'm not eloquent, but basically in my speech. And the Lord says, He says, I'm going to tell your brother Aaron what to say, and I'm going to tell you what to say, amen. It looks to me that they both did pretty good, amen. It looks to me Moses did more than Aaron in that. If you look at the scriptures, amen, Moses could do more than he thought. Why? Because the sufficiency had to be of God and not of him. And that's our God. He can strengthen us to stand through any trial. Any trial. I don't care what it is that you're going through in your Christian life. God can strengthen you to go through anything at all. It doesn't matter what it is. It's do you depend upon him. He can strengthen us so that we don't give in. Now listen, he can strengthen us so that we don't give in to any temptation. We don't give in to temptation because God don't strengthen us. We give in to temptation because we come weak in our faith of God. And we put our faith and our trust in us. And we begin to think that we can do this on our own. No, my friend, you can't. And you're not going to make it by trying to live that way. He can strengthen us so we can have, listen, he can strengthen us so we can have clean thoughts.
Yeah.
Clean thoughts, amen. We were in our home church a while back. You know, this has been a couple years ago now, and one of the times when I was sick, we were home pastor for about 6, 7, 8 weeks, 9 weeks maybe, and I preached out, but I would be there every once in a while, I'd be there for a Sunday. And when I first got back, I just got back that Sunday, the first time in about a 7 or 8 week period where we were going to be there going through doctor's appointments and stuff, and I'm coming to the church that morning, and there's a gentleman sitting, well, not a gentleman, a man sitting next to another man in our church that had brought him to come to church, and they introduced me to him, and I'm talking to him, and every time a little child walked in the door, when our bus emptied off and walked in the door, this guy's sitting there like this looking at every little kid that comes in that door, and I walk up to pastor afterwards, and I says, this man has a problem, preacher, and we need to keep our eyes on him. And pastor says, we are. And pastor ended up, I think that night or the next week, he came back again and took him into his office and talked to him. And he says, as long as you are in our church, because the guy had been, he was a pedophile. He says, as long as you're in our church, you cannot get up out of the sanctuary and go to the bathroom by yourself. You have to have one of our deacons go with you. When you use the facilities in a church, you cannot go downstairs of the church without another man being with you. You cannot leave the sanctuary without another man being with you. And he says, you don't think that I'm saved? He says, it has nothing to do with that. And I told preachers he might be saved, but right there he's guilty, you know, because he's getting angry because of what he has done. And now he doesn't realize there are still consequences, regardless if he got saved or not, pastor. I told preacher he's got a problem yet. Watching the little kids come in that church like that, and that next week he was gone, never came back again. Amen. And you hate to lose people, but I say praise the Lord. Amen. Keeps you from a lawsuit, maybe. You know, I'm just telling you, my folk, God can clean us from those thoughts. He can save a pedophile.
That's right.
I believe it. Amen. He can save a murderer. He can save a drunk. He can save a drug addict. God can save them. Amen. He can do it. That's God. But boy, we need to have the clean thoughts, and he can keep your thoughts clean if we would just trust in him. I think it was Alfred, brother, who wrote on this text of Philippians chapter 4. Let me read this to you. It's a rather long paragraph, but I think it fits us completely here. He said that we need not be harassed and vexed and tortured with improper thoughts and unholy desires. There is one who can enable us to banish such thoughts from the mind and restore the right balance of the affections of the soul. That we need not dread what is to come. Trials, temptations, poverty, want, persecution may await us, but we need not sink in despondency. At every step of life, Christ is able to strengthen us and can bring us triumphantly through. What a privilege it is, therefore, to be a Christian. Amen? It is. To be a Christian in the trials of life that we have, or to feel that in the trials of life we have one friend, unchanging and most mighty, who can always help us and cheerfully should we engage in our duties. Oh, my friend, and meet the trials that are before us, leaning on the arm of our almighty Redeemer. Let us not shrink from duty. Let us not dread persecution. Let us not fear the bed of death. In all circumstances, Christ, our unchanging friend, can uphold us. Lift the eye and the self-affections of the heart. Let them be fixed on Him. Let the simple, fervent, believing prayer be directed always to Him when trial comes, when temptations assail, and when duty presses hard upon us, and when a crowd of unholy and unforbidden thoughts rush into the soul, and we shall be safe. Let's think on Him. Let's think on Him. Let's trust Him. Let's believe Him. 2 Corinthians, and I will finish with this thought here tonight, chapter 12. You can turn there. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. And a very familiar portion of Scripture and a very familiar verse, I believe, probably to everybody in this room. And Paul speaking here to the church of Corinth. He said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Three times he asked the Lord that this infirmity of his flesh might leave him. And he said unto me, I like this, here's what the Lord said unto Paul. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord said to Paul. Now, most of us would hear that, we say, "Yes, Lord, but." I like what Paul says. The rest of that verse, Paul responds back with this thought: "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." I'd rather have them. "That the power of Christ may rest upon me. That His power might be seen in my life, in my ministry, in His sufficiency, that people would see His sufficiency in our lives, that we would be a living witness for Him, no matter what we're going through." Amen. No matter what happens in a church, that the people outside this church would see the power of God in this congregation, in this meeting place, in this church here, inside and outside, Pastor, that this community would see the power of God. Amen. Well, that's what we need, and that's what you need in your life. The power of God to show Himself forth. The power of God to show Himself forth. That He would have all the glory and all the honor. That our neighbors and the people we work with and our friends and our families might see the power of God resting in our lives. And they might not see the power of our own strength, amen. But they would see the power of God. That's what you need. I don't know about you, but that's what I need. That's what I need. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Two questions tonight with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I don't know if there has been a time in your life when you have truly put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive you for your sin, and you have been born again. There's many people, many churches sometimes who come to church, even read their Bible, but don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Is there anyone here like that this evening? Say, "Brother Mike, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm born again. I'm not sure." Anybody would like you to slip your hand up right now and say, "Could you just pray for me?" And my prayer can't save you, and it won't save you. But I would count it a great and tremendous privilege to pray for you. Anybody like that this evening, just pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. I don't see any hands. That's good, I hope. Amen. I hope that all of you are really born again, saved by the grace of God. The second question this evening is this. What are you depending upon in your Christian life to help you day by day as a child of God? Do you depend upon yourself to carry you through? Do you seek the Lord and His wisdom and His will for what you should do and should be? I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. Did the Lord speak to your heart tonight? Why don't you just get out of your seat and you just come right now? Come on. God bless you. You just slip out and come. Come on. The Lord spoke to your heart. You just slip out and come. Come on. The Lord bless you. You slip out and come. God wants the sufficiency in Him and in Him alone. You just slip out and come. Let God do what He wants to do, how He wants to do it. The Father, I thank You for these who slipped out and came up here to the altar tonight, God. Lord, You know the heart of everything, everyone in there, the heart of every problem, every difficulty, every hardship. Lord, thank You, Father, for who You are. Help us, God, to completely depend upon You, for You are sufficient for us. Help us to realize that and recognize it, Father, and give You the honor and the glory because of it. We'll give You the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, You come.
Let's stand, 270 in our song, but Christians still praying. Just as I am, that's how we come to Christ. Revival here, and all hearts and minds clear. Anyone got someone they want to testify? Or all right, God's been good. Appreciate again those that come out so faithfully all this week. Appreciate the sacrificial giving. Let's rejoice again. Don't let the revival stop just because revival services stop. Praise the Lord. Let's look for God to do some great things, answer some prayers that have been lifted this week as well. Father, praise You again and thank You. Thank You that we could meet this week. I thank You again for the decisions that have been made. I thank You for each prayer that's been lifted to you at this old-fashioned altar, each prayer again that's been whispered during a service. And Father, see our heart, hear our prayer, and Lord, again, that you'd touch. Answer some of these prayers, Father, that have been brought before you. Change our walk. May we again, Father, just leave these meetings with a new zeal for you, and Father, with a new presence recognized of your hand that you have drawn nigh to us like you promised. We'll praise you now and thank you for touching each heart that's here tonight. Thank you for Friday night that we could be in the Lord's house with other believers, just rubbing shoulders and being edified, strengthened, and encouraged. And Father, thank you especially for your presence here. Breathe on us now as we step off into a close of this week. And then, Father, as we would open up this next week, may we open it in worship of your Son on the day he rose from the tomb. In Christ's name, we praise you tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, Lord, bless you. Fellowship a little bit. Anderson's will be taken off shortly.